Good to see you. It's been too long. Good to see some friends and family. Well, I should say family. Andrew, my son, is speaking tonight at College Side. We didn't. Mark asked me several months ago if I would come and teach this class for VBS, and Andrew didn't know it, and so we got our wires crossed, but Janet decided to go with him, so that shows you how irate. So glad to be with you tonight. Most of you have heard me speak before, and you know that I am a counselor, and I spend most of my days talking to folks during times that often are their worst times in their life and dealing with all kinds of difficult things. Life keeps coming at us, doesn't it? And since we have been here, we've had lots of different things in our family. My mom was diagnosed with dementia, and her memory kind of comes and goes on her, and I'm sure some of you have family members that have dealt with that kind of thing. Janet's dad got diagnosed with cancer a couple of months ago and has started chemotherapy, and he's doing much better now, but it's always a scary thing when you hear that word, isn't it? And again, I know many of you have dealt with things like that. And so sometimes it's health issues that we deal with. Sometimes it's relationship problems. Sometimes it's work problems and lots of other kinds of issues that we deal with. But God has always, He created us. He knows how we think. He knows what's best for us. And He has given us lots of different admonitions and directions that can help us to deal with life in a lot of different ways. A lot of times when we're dealing with things like that, there are thoughts that go through our mind, things that we think about when difficult things happen to us. People think about negative beliefs about themselves, about their life. We dwell on mistakes that we've made. We feel bad about ourselves. Sometimes we dwell on fears, insecurities, self-doubts, fears about the future, fears that things will get worse. Some have concerns about their health, like we just talked about. We think about negative feelings about our past. Sometimes we have memories of what people have done to us that aren't very nice, and that sometimes leads to anger and resentments. And so there are a lot of different ways, a lot of different things that can be helpful to help us to cope with life experiences, things that go on. I've talked with you guys about several different things in the past. I can't remember if I have shown you one particular thing that I'm going to look at tonight. And I'm happy to, this is VBS, to kind of make this a little bit more informal. And if y'all want to raise your hand, ask questions as we go along, I'm happy to do that. But you also know I'll just rattle on if you don't have anything to ask me. But we have all kinds of things that go on in our life. There was a gentleman in the 1960s, if I can remember his name, I think I wrote it down, Lester Levinson. And Lester was in his 40s in the 1960s, so he was not an old man. 40 sounding younger and younger, isn't it? In his 40s, was going through a lot of stressful things in his life. He had stress at work, stress at home, and he was so stressed out that he had a couple of heart attacks. And after that second heart attack, the doctors told him, if you don't get a handle on managing your life a little bit better, if you have another heart attack, you're not going to survive. And that got his attention. This is literally a life and death task that he's got to handle life better. And so this is the 1960s. There was no Google How do I handle my life better? He went to the library. There weren't a whole lot of resources about stress and dealing with things at the library in the 1960s, but he found a book or two that he read. But on his own, he started to think about his problems, and he started to look at things by asking himself some simple questions that helped him greatly. A lot of what I do in my office is help people to ask themselves better questions. And so there are five questions that this gentleman started asking himself. And I've added a couple of advanced questions to this, but they go along with two of these. But these questions are very simple, but they're also tied in with some biblical principles. So question number one is simply, what am I feeling? What am I feeling? Just name it. I'm anxious, or I'm angry, or I'm down in the dumps and depressed. I'm sad, I'm frustrated. Just name it. What am I feeling? And that's where I start often in the office, is just, where are you right now? What's going on, and how are you feeling about that? And almost always, those emotions get away from us, don't they? So what am I feeling? Emotions, you know, a lot of times we think of emotions as good or bad. And there are some emotions that feel better, love and feeling loved and joy and happiness. And but there are emotions of grief and sadness and anger. Those don't feel as good, but actually in the course of life, it's not unhealthy to feel those negative emotions at a certain level. You know, if you were in school and you passed or you failed a test and you're disappointed, that's really healthy. If you're devastated, though, you're probably not going to handle it very well. And so naming that emotion, what am I feeling? And so what a lot of us, though, do when we name that emotion is we try to, in some cases, put that down. Let's say, for example, you were anxious about something. If you had a big presentation tomorrow, or you had to go speak in front of somebody, or you had an interview tomorrow for a job, you're probably going to be a little anxious, or maybe a lot anxious. And so question one would be, what am I feeling? I'm anxious. A lot of times we try to tamp that down, and a lot of times what we try to do is, don't be anxious. You know, don't mess this up. What does that do for us when we say don't do that? A lot of times it makes it worse. We feel even more anxious. And so question number two is, could I allow the feeling? Could I allow the feeling? In other words, could I give myself a little room to feel what I feel? We're human. All of those emotions, anger and anxiety and happiness and joy, in the course of our lives, those are normal kinds of things. At a certain level, it's really good to feel those things. It's good to have that emotion. But when that emotion gets way up here, which is what was happening to Mr. Levison, we don't function very well. So could I allow it? So Mr. Levison started thinking about his emotions represented by water in a water hose. If you can imagine, water in a water hose represents the emotion. And so that water represents the anxiety or the anger or whatever that emotion is. So the healthy way of dealing with that emotion is, it comes down the water hose, it goes all the way through out the end and onto the ground, and I let it go. I feel it, and then I let it go. That's the healthy way. But what happens to all of us sometimes is that water hose gets crimped. I feel it, and I can't let it go. And that pressure keeps building and building and building. And that's what was happening to this man to the point he's having heart attacks. So the question is, how do you release that pressure? How do you let, at least in the beginning, a little of that pressure go? And question number two, I think, is the beginning of that. Could I allow the feeling? Do you see how giving yourself a little room to be anxious, to be angry, to be whatever that emotion is, giving myself a little room to feel what I feel takes a little bit of that pressure off? And that kind of is back to a topic we've talked about here before, and that's perfection. You know, demanding perfection of yourself just leaves you where? You're still not perfect, are you? And so when I'm demanding I must not mess up, it's like crimping that hose. It adds that pressure of I must not mess up. I hadn't played golf in a while. Used to play with Herb every now and then. We haven't been out there in a long time. But you get out on that golf course and you got a 5-foot putt that you ought to make, and it's like I must not mess up. And you tighten up, and 9 times out of 10, you're going to miss that putt. If I can allow myself a little room for error, even if I miss this putt, my family still loves me, God still loves me, not the end of the world, then I'm going to be more likely to come closer to making that putt, maybe make a few when I do that. So question number two, could I allow the feeling? Question number three is, could I let that feeling go? Could I let it go? Now, almost always in the beginning, your answer is going to be, no, I can't. And that's okay. Could I let it go is almost like giving yourself permission to let it go. Could I let that feeling go? And when my answer is no, I can't, then question number four is just a transition question. It says, would I let it go? That's just a yes or no question. Did you or did you not? If I did let it go, then I'm in a good place. I'm better. I have come down from that emotion that's way up here. But if I didn't let it go, then question number five is, when might I let it go? And the answer to that's going to be different for different things, isn't it? Some things take longer to let go than others. One of the illustrations I often use is somebody cutting you off in traffic. You know, you're out running. Even out here, I'm sure every now and then that happens. Cookeville's getting more and more busy, isn't it? I used to never thought I would gripe about living in Miami for all of those years, but every now and then, Cookeville, you get caught up in a 5-minute traffic jam. Which is not too bad, but people do things they shouldn't do out there sometimes. So that kind of thing, though, most of us let that go pretty quick. Now, not everybody, but most of us let that go pretty quick. By the time you get to going where you're going, you've let it go. But if somebody you love very much passed away, you're not going to let that go for a long time. You're going to grieve and you're going to be sad, and it may be months, if not a year or two, of some pretty intense grief. And that's not necessary. That's not unhealthy. From a counselor's standpoint, I'm not worried about somebody that's grieving for a long time. That's normal. It doesn't feel good, but it's normal to grieve. But what we're trying to do with these questions is to get quicker at bringing the intensity of that emotion down a little bit so that I function better. So I told you there are two advanced questions that I've added to this because I think it goes along with it really well. And it's if you're writing these down, this is going to be question 2B and 3B. So question 2 that we looked at a while ago said, could I allow the feeling? Question 2B is, could I even welcome this situation as an opportunity to learn or to grow? Now, this is admittedly an advanced question. What do you mean, welcome this bad situation, be happy about this bad situation? That's a tough task for most of us. But there's a biblical principle here. You know the verse in James chapter 1, beginning in verse 2. Let me read this. So James chapter 1, if I can find it, verse 2. Says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded, unstable in all that they do. So he says, the King James Version says, count it all joy when you fall into all kinds of trials and troubles. Count it joy when you fall into difficult things. At first glance, it's like, what are you talking about, James? Be happy that bad things happen. And that's not exactly what he says. He says, count it joy. But then right after that, he says, because these things help us to learn perseverance and maturity. So what he's saying is, if nothing bad ever happened to us, if we never had a bump in the road, if we never had any kind of struggle at all, we probably wouldn't have much motivation to learn much of anything, would we? You know, a lot of the things that we try to learn, it's because we've had a struggle in some area and in some way. You get a new job, and you go on that new job on that first day, and you don't know what you're doing, and somebody's training you, and boy, day two, it's like, I better get the books out and try to figure out how to do this. I better practice this a little. I better go a little bit early and see if I can get a little help with this. And so it's when we stumble that often we pick up and we try to learn. So I think about a couple of illustrations with this. You think about a high school athlete who's the biggest, fastest, strongest kid in high school. Now, I wasn't that kid, but you know, there every high school seems to have that one kid that is the star. He's the star on the football team and the basketball team and the baseball team, and he doesn't seem to hardly have to break a sweat because he's just physically bigger and stronger and faster than those other kids. And so a lot of times that kid gets a scholarship, goes to college, but what does he find when he gets to college? All of those other kids that were the biggest, fastest, strongest from all those other high schools are going to college, and now he's not the biggest, fastest, strongest, and for the first time he gets knocked down, and he hadn't been knocked down before. And so a lot of times, that's the kid that says, forget this, it's supposed to be easy, and he quits. But you got another kid in high school that wasn't the biggest, fastest, strongest. He kept getting knocked down, and he kept going to the coach and saying, how do I get better? What do I need to do? And the coach would give him a drill and tell him to go to the weight room and tell him to maybe read this book or watch this guy the way he does it. And little by little, he gets a little bit better. Maybe that kid goes to college, he walks on, he doesn't get a scholarship, but he keeps working hard. He keeps getting knocked down and getting back up. A lot of times that's the kid that becomes the pro. He learns his position, and he learns it well, and he learns how to deal with adversity. So I think that's what James is saying in this verse in James chapter 1. Count it joy when you fall into all kinds of adversity, because those things are going to help you to grow and mature. Those things are going to help you to learn perseverance. If I get it the first time, I don't need any perseverance, do I? So question 2B then is saying, instead of dreading the bad things that happen in your life, let me maybe have a different view of those things. Let me welcome those things as an opportunity to help me learn and grow. Now, I know that's a stretch. Most of us don't think that way, but it's a better way of thinking, and I think that's what James is telling us. So question 3 that we looked at before was, could I let that negative emotion go? Almost always our answer in the beginning is no, I can't. I think the better question, 3B, would be, if I had already let that go, if I had already let that anger go or that anxiety go, what would I be doing right now? What would I be thinking about all day if I'd already let that go? Now, again, this takes some practice, but what I like about that question is it bypasses the question, how do I let it go? That's what we usually ask ourselves. If somebody said, let that go, what's the first question? Well, how do you do that? And usually our answer is, I don't know how you do that. If somebody has mistreated me or has done something that they shouldn't have done and I'm angry about that. Or how do you let that anxiety go about that big interview tomorrow or whatever that event is in your life? Not so easy to do it, but eventually you will let it go, won't you? It may take you days and days and days or weeks and weeks and weeks with some things, but eventually you will let it go. But we can shorten that time frame by saying, you know, I could stew about this for hours and hours and hours, or I could learn to just go ahead and let it go now. If I had let it go, what would I be thinking about? Well, I'd be thinking about this other thing here instead of stewing about whatever this was or that was. So I know that's not easy. This is a skill, just like any other skill. If you want to get better at any activity, you got to practice it, don't you? And that's what these questions are. Question number 1, what am I feeling? Whatever that emotion is about whatever negative thing that's going on in your life. Question number 2, could I allow it? You're human. You're going to feel all of those emotions. Don't set yourself up for failure by demanding perfection when there is none. And that's another whole lesson that you guys have heard before, my ABCs that we've talked about: adversity, belief, consequence. And that B part of that, our belief, are those demands. I must do well. You must treat me well. Life shouldn't be this hard. When I'm thinking that way and something doesn't go right, my emotions are going to be way up here, aren't they? And when they're way up here, I'm not likely to respond to that in a way that's going to be useful. Very often I cause myself 3 or 4 or 5 more problems because of the way I respond when I'm upset up here. So the better way is, I would prefer this hadn't happened. Let me see if I can learn from this and do a little bit better the next time. I don't like it, but I can manage it. That way of thinking is not the way most people think. Most of us think this shouldn't be. And it shouldn't be very often morally. I'm not talking about moral right and wrong. What I'm saying is, life is imperfect. Sometimes I'm going to do things that hurt other people. Sometimes other people are going to do things that hurt me. Sometimes it rains outside when I wanted to have a picnic. When that stuff happens and I get upset way up here, then I usually cause myself a few more problems. So I could stay stewing about that stuff for hours and hours and hours, or I could ask question 3B. Could I let, if I had already let that go, what would I be doing right now? What would I be thinking? Paul in Romans chapter 7 said, I keep messing up. The things I shouldn't be doing, I keep doing. The things I should be doing, I'm not doing those things. Then he said, wretched man that I am. He felt awful. We've all felt that, haven't we? We've been in that place. Wretched man that I am. And Paul then said, who will save me from this? That's what everybody is coming to me for. They're saying, how do you get past this? Who will save me from this? And Paul answered his own question. He said, thanks be to God through Christ Jesus. And then the very next chapter, Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says this. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He just said he did a bunch of stuff he should have been condemned for. But I think what helped him not to feel wretched was he finally got it that Jesus paid the price for his mess ups and that his blood covered those mess ups and that he was forgiven. And he let that go. He let that wretched feeling go because of what God did for him. So let's end this lesson. I don't know how long I'm supposed to go, but you probably wouldn't mind if I ended. I really enjoy helping people learn how to think better and deal with life better. I think God, in a lot of ways, put me here to help hurting church people. Sometimes I help hurting atheists, but a lot of people who are hurting are people who believe in God and yet haven't learned to manage their lives and their thoughts in ways that help them to deal with it a little bit better. And so long ago, I realized I'm a lot more comfortable in front of one person than I am 500 or 1,000 or 100 or whatever. I don't do a lot of public speaking anymore. I'm really a lot more comfortable in my office in front of one person. But every now and then I get drug into something like this. But I'm glad to be here. But I really enjoy teaching strategies. And these are strategies that I'm not perfect at either. I am as imperfect as anybody else. Sometimes I mess up. But I have practiced these enough that I'm pretty good at bringing that emotion down pretty quickly because I keep asking myself these kinds of questions that we've looked at tonight. So, am I supposed to do an invitation? Are we doing it? So, we always, when we come together, we want to offer an invitation. Yes, sir. Yes. Absolutely, they apply to both. So if you have sinned in your life and you go through those questions, number one, what am I feeling? I'm feeling guilt. I'm feeling disconnected from God. I'm feeling disconnected from others. Question number two, could I allow it? In other words, let me give myself a little room. I think the value of guilt, what is the purpose of guilt? It's to help to change. It's when I feel bad about doing something I shouldn't have done, it's, you know, let me feel it long enough to help me to change. Now, I don't think God's intention was that I forever feel guilty for that. That's what happens a lot of times, isn't it? I feel that guilt, and I don't let it go. That fits right into what we're saying, doesn't it? So could I allow it? Yes. Could I let that guilt go? A lot of Christians say, no, I can't. Does that answer your question? Well, but that's their problem. You know, and our problem a lot of times is feeling like everyone else must love and approve of me. And that's just not going to happen all the time, is it? So I need to be comfortable with me connecting with God, believing that God knows me and loves me and cares about me. I want other people to forgive me and to like me, but I don't have the guarantee of that, do I? And that kind of goes back to some of those questions we talked about in the beginning, that if my demand is I must be approved of by other people, then what am I going to think about all day long? And that's where I was for a long time. I shouldn't have said this. I shouldn't have done that. And I stew about that stuff, and I feel rotten. I can feel rotten all day long and all week long and all year long. Or if I've done something to hurt somebody, I need to apologize or go to that person or try to make that right if it can be made right. But then I need to learn to do what this gentleman did, and that's let it go. Let go of my guilt. If I've repented and done those things to set that right, I need to let go of my need to have everybody else approve of me. Yes, sir. That's right.
But his endurance, his joy came through his cross, the cross, and sharing what he could through God. So God, he would endure the cross before he showed.
That's right. Jesus was not concerned about what other people thought about him, were they?
He did show the example of
community. Absolutely. He was compassionate, but in terms of him needing others to approve of him, you know, he didn't set out to have people not approve of him, but there are people in this world that are not going to like you. As nice and sweet as most of y'all are, there's a few that I wonder about. They know who I'm talking about, but there are going to be people in this world for lots of different reasons. We have different personalities. They're not going to be our best friend, are they? And that's okay. I want everybody to like me, but that's not always going to happen. If my need is everyone must like and approve of me, then I'm in a bad place, aren't I? Then I'm constantly going to be, you know, I shouldn't have done this, I shouldn't have said that, and I'm not going to be in a good place. Other questions? So this little concept, it really does apply to any emotional issue. In other words, what am I feeling? Name it. Instead of focusing on what's going on out here, that somebody doesn't like me, what am I feeling? You know, I'm feeling guilt or anger or sadness or whatever. Could I allow it? You're human. Give yourself a little room to feel what you feel. But then, not forever. You know, I could stew about this for hours and hours and hours, or weeks and weeks and weeks, or I could learn to let it go more quickly. So it's like I probably used this illustration before. My son and father-in-law drug me in. I'm trying to learn to play guitar. And if you've ever tried to play, you know it's really hard. And so I went to that first lesson, and that guy taught me two chords. He taught me a C chord, and he taught me a G chord. And he said, if you want to play a song, you got to be able to change chords in 1 second or less. And I said, now where do those fingers go? It's not so easy. So the next week I got there, and he said, all right, I'm going to give you a little test. This guy's half my age, been playing since he was 4. He says, I want you to do 10 chord changes, and I'm going to time you. He didn't tell me he was going to do that. So he said, go. So I'm fumbling around. I'm nervous. I'm trying to get those two chords back and forth. It took me 22 seconds. The goal was 10 seconds. It's awful. He was nice. He said, this is not so easy, is it? So what he asked me to do was take 10 minutes a day and just as slow as I needed to, look at my fingers, go back and forth between those two chords for 10 minutes a day until I got a little bit quicker. Now, I'm not a great guitar player. I can play a song or two, sort of. You might recognize it. But what I learned gradually, or what my fingers learned, is I could do a few chords. But it took practice. What I'm talking about tonight takes just as much, if not more, practice. How you're thinking when things don't go well. And when we ask the wrong questions, we end up being upset way up here for a long time. And when we're upset way up here, we usually do or say something that's going to cause us 4 or 5 more problems, don't we? So the things I teach don't take away your problems. They just help you to be a little bit less upset about them so that you don't cause yourself 4 or 5 more problems. And life starts to get a little bit more manageable if I quit making more problems for myself. There's always going to be some stuff out there, but let me see if I can handle it a little bit better. Christ gave us a way. Romans 8:1 that we talked about a while ago. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Not because I'm perfect, but because Christ died on the cross, His blood paid for those sins. That's why Paul did not feel wretched anymore, because the blood of Christ covered his sins. And he felt it. He believed it not only here, he felt it. Let go of that guilt. Let go of that anger. Let go of that depression and anxiety. It takes practice just like that guitar. But you can do it. If you have a need tonight, if you would like the congregation to pray for you, or if you're not a Christian and you've never named the name of Christ, now is an opportunity to do that while we stand and sing.